Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good day? All right. So glad that you're here. I'm Sean. I'm lead pastor here. And I actually don't get to do this very often because we have this teaching pastor named Andy Stanley. And usually as we are preparing and planning for a Sunday, he gets the nod. So we usually just kind of go with that. But I'm a little bit excited about sharing with you a little bit about my story this morning and a few things that are going on and really kind of continuing on with the series that Jeff Henderson started last week. He's another one of our teaching pastors. Jeff started talking about this is my year and what we need to do to make that our year as well. And so I'm looking forward to sharing with you about that. But as we're looking ahead to this next year, I know that there are several really good things that we have that are going to be happening here at our church. And I'm excited to get to share a little bit about that with you a few weeks from now. But as we look back on this past year, I know I can tell you I had some personal struggles this past year. And I'm going to share a little bit about that with you in just a few minutes. But we also ended the year on a really good note. At least I got to. I got to do one of my favorite things, and that was travel with my family. And about 30 people here from our church and some other people around town, and we got to go to an orphanage in Mexico. You've heard me talk about it a million times. And thanks to your generosity through Be Rich, we got to deliver to them a van that they get to use as a school bus. And it was a ton of fun to be able to do this. I want you to check this out. But that's the lady that runs the orphanage and some of the kids there with their new van. And they were ecstatic. It was a really, really big deal. So thank you for what you did to make that happen. That's a game changer for them for sure. But as we look ahead to this next year, Jeff talked to us last week a little bit, and he really asked us two questions. And the first one was, what do you think is possible for you in this next year? What do you think is possible for you in this next year? And that's a great question. And that's a question that I hope that over this past week you began to ask and think through a little bit. But then after he asked that one, he asked an even better question. And he said, what does God think is possible for you next year? What does God think is possible for you next year? And that's a much better question because I just truly believe that with God, all things are possible. And that's what I want you to be able to look at this year and realize is that God's got something great in store for you. And there's some hope for you and there's some great things that could possibly happen. God's got a plan and it's going to be really, really good. And that's really why I want to share a little bit about my story this morning is because I want to kind of pick up from where Jeff left off and talk about and share with you a little bit about my year this past year and hope that maybe what I have kind of walked through this past year will help you in your upcoming year this next year. So to tell you a little bit about that, and I'll tell you too, right before Christmas, we had a service for our volunteers, a night of worship type event. And we have amazing volunteers here at Beachside. So everything that happens is because of this team of people, really, really busy people that just choose to give part of their time to make this happen. So you wouldn't be here right now. Your kids wouldn't be in Wombaland or Upstreet or Transit. None of this would take place if it wasn't for this amazing group of people that do so much. And so we tried to say thank you and celebrate them a little bit right at Christmas. So we had a night of worship. We got them all together and sang some songs and did some fun stuff. And I had an opportunity to share with them a little bit. And I shared part of what I'm going to share this morning at that time. So volunteers, I'm sorry, but you will have heard a little bit of this before. So just bear with me a little bit. But I want to share with you a little bit about my story because I do think it'll be helpful. And I kind of want to start with what took place right before, actually it was right after Thanksgiving, and I went to a retreat for all of the lead pastors of our North Point partner churches. And so we've got different groups of churches. There's about 40 people that were there at this retreat. And one of the things we did during one of the sessions that they had asked myself and three other guys to be on a panel to be able to talk and share a little bit of our story and answer some questions. And so as we did that, there were four of us, and the guy on the very end just kind of shared a little bit and said, you know, he said, 30 years ago, I went through a really difficult time in my life, but I worked through that. And now I'm kind of on the other side of that. And then the next guy said, you know, 10 years ago, I went through this really difficult time in my life, and I've worked through that. Now I'm on the other side of that. And then the next guy said, 2 years ago, I went through this really difficult time in my life, and I've worked through that. And then it was me, and I was the guy that was there to say, I'm still in process and still working on all this. Because I had gone through a pretty difficult time over the last year, year and a half, and I'm still kind of working on the road to recovery through all of that. And that's why I want to share that with you a little bit about what kind of I have gone through this last year and what that might look like for you. But in doing that, I want to back up a little bit in my story and tell you about 10 years ago, a group of people got together and we started talking a little bit about this idea of starting a new church in our community. And it's hard to believe that it has been 10 years since we began those conversations. But when we began talking about that, we really were kind of talking about this idea of what would a new church in our community look like and why is that necessary? Because there's plenty of churches for church people in our community. But we wanted to create a church that wasn't just a different style of music, and it wasn't just a different looking building or any of those kinds of things. But we wanted a church where people didn't feel like they had to get up in the morning on Sunday morning and put on their church clothes and then put on their church face and then come to church and act like they had everything together and then go home, go to lunch, end up back at their house in some type of miserable place where everything wasn't really together at all. But we wanted to create a place where people could be real and authentic and honest, could talk openly, that together we could work through our struggles and difficulties and we could all be better off because of it. And I look now, 10 years after we began those conversations, and I think, you know, we've got a church, and it's a great church, and I love our church. But I think in so many ways, we haven't succeeded in that goal. At least not at the level I think we could have and should have. And I think I'm part of the problem. Actually, I think I probably am the biggest part of the problem because I haven't always been completely open and honest and authentic and real either. And see, a couple of years ago, if you go back about 2 years in my life, I really thought I had everything together. I had gone through, you know, as a teenager, like most teenagers do, a little bit of a difficult time and worked through some struggles. But since then, everything had really been going really well for me. And I had not had any major issues, no super traumatic experiences. And there just wasn't anything that I felt like was just a really difficult struggle for me in my life. And then a couple of years ago, some things began to happen. Some circumstances began to come at me and they began to really create a problem for me. It became kind of difficult. And I walked through, you know, just kind of this difficult time. And I could look at that, and I could look at these circumstances and these struggles that I was going through at the time. And they all looked like they were completely external, that they were just things that were just kind of coming at me that were completely outside of my control. And some of them were just crazy things, honestly. I actually, for the first time ever, began to have some physical back pain and some chronic back pain. And I'll tell you, for those of you that deal with some type of chronic pain or chronic problem like that, I have never had any sympathy for you. I just didn't understand it. I really didn't. And I'm sorry because it's a big deal and it can really just begin to take effect of a lot of other things that you deal with. And so I had surgery a couple months ago to try to remedy some of that. But that was just kind of a base layer. And then other things began to happen on top of that. And my marriage was great and everything else was still good. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't like there was a moral failure on my part or anything like that. It was just these things that kept coming at me that seemed to be outside of my control that began to knock me down and become very hurtful and painful. And I just wasn't real sure how to deal with that and what to do with that. And so I began or just kind of continued doing the same thing that I had always done in that situation. And that was to just work a little bit harder. And I thought, if I just put in a little more time, if I just work a little bit harder, if I just push a little bit more, that eventually I'll come out the other side of this. I was enlisted for a short time in the Marine Corps. And we were just always taught that when you face a difficult obstacle, you push through and you'll come out the other side. And that had always worked for me in the past, but this time it was just different. And the more I worked and the harder I pushed, the more I began to go into this deeper downward spiral. And it just began to get worse and worse and worse. And I wasn't sure what to do with that or where to go with that. So back to the retreat that we were at and this panel that I was on, we had been given some questions ahead of time just to begin to work through and to try to answer some questions. And the reason that they even did this whole thing was as we were preparing for this retreat, they sent out an email to all of the lead pastors and they just said, hey, what are some things, some ideas that we could talk about that would really be helpful for you? And we do this retreat every year, and so it's usually a really helpful time. And of all the guys that were going to be here at this thing, one of the overwhelming things that were sent out was we would like to talk about the idea of emotional health. And we would like to talk about what we can do to be just better, you know, just get into a better place. And as pastors, there were just people that were just dealing with struggles and had difficulties in their life. And I had been one of those. And so our goal and what we were asked to do was just really to give permission to everybody else to be okay with not being okay. And to tell them that it's okay if you're not okay, as long as you're doing something about it. And that's really what I want to do for you. And that's why I thought it was important for me to share this morning, especially kind of tagging on to what Jeff said last week about making this our year and making this a really great year this year and what that might look like. And so on this panel, I was asked, one of the questions was, what were the biggest challenges that you faced as you were going through a kind of difficult time and as you were walking down the road of recovery from that? And as I thought about that, there were two things that really came to mind. The first one was, it was really hard for me to be completely open and honest. It was just hard for me to talk about the issues and the struggles that I had. You know, there was just some amount of pride and arrogance that I had inside of me that just didn't want to let other people know that I had problems and that I was struggling with some things. And so I didn't want to talk about it. And so it was hard for me to begin that process of getting that out. I felt like I was going to disappoint people. I felt like I would let people down. I felt like people might even judge me as a pastor of a church. You know, you can't not be okay. You know, you got to have it all together. And just completely unwarranted and stupid, crazy fears that I had. But they were real and they were there and they kept me from talking about it and getting it out, which kept me from being able to begin walking down that road to recovery. And then the second thing that I thought was really a challenge for me was taking responsibility for my part of it. Because I could look at it, and as I began to talk about it and talk about all these things, I could talk about the circumstances that I faced, because those were all external things that I had no control over. But it was really hard for me to take responsibility for my part of what I had done. But the more I began to talk about it, the more I began to realize that I had created an environment where these negative circumstances could begin to be harmful and hurt me and do damage to me. Because before, I had always had negative circumstances. When I began to think about it, I've always had, you know, things in my life that were not great situational, circumstantial things. We all have circumstances in our life that we have to deal with. But before, I had, you know, margin in my life. I had the resources built up that I could work through those things and fight through those difficulties so that they didn't become hurtful to me. You know, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, I had enough resources that I could just deal with these things when they came by my way. But over time, as I began to work harder and push harder, and I began to exhaust my resources and expend all those things, and I had no margin left in my life, and I was then in a position where I didn't have anything that I could fight off these things with. And those circumstances began to become painful and hurtful at that time. I actually kind of discovered this when I was watching TV with my wife one night. And my wife, Tammy, is a big Star Trek fan. She's a Trekkie. And I know a few of you can relate to that. Surely we have some other Star Trek fans in the room. Anybody? Nobody? Oh, yeah, there we go. Whole podcast. That's great. Awesome, guys. So there's a group of people over here. I can talk to y'all because y'all can understand what I'm about to say. Nobody else will get this. But for those of you that enjoy Star Trek, and I'm a little bit more of a Star Wars fan. Tammy likes Star Wars, but she's more of a Star Trek fan. And thanks to Netflix, all those old reruns of Star Trek are all over Netflix. And we get to watch those. And we waste way too much time, by the way, watching Star Trek. But as we're watching Star Trek, The Next Generation one night, there's kind of this scene that's unfolding, and it's pretty predictable because it's the same thing that always happens. This starship that's on a mission of exploration in a galaxy far, far away. That's actually another series, but it applies. They're doing the same thing. Star Trek, the Enterprise, is off in this foreign galaxy somewhere, and they are on a mission of exploration, but they always seem to run into trouble, and they're always fighting a battle with some alien species somewhere, right? That's just kind of what happens. And as they're doing this, and they're in the middle of this epic battle, the photon torpedoes are flying, and the lasers, and all these other things that just sound really cool, sound like amazing weapons. All these things are taking place, and the Starship Enterprise is there, and it's being rocked, and it's shook, and people are holding on, you know, every time they get hit. But there's no damage. There's nothing happening. Because there's this amazing thing on the Starship Enterprise, and it's this invisible kind of force field around it. You know, there's shields that are there that are in place. And I don't know how they do that, but it sounds really kind of amazing. And as I'm watching this and I see that, I hear the guy, one of the guys, you know, as they're taking these hits, and he keeps calling out the status of their shields. You know, and every time they take a hit, their shields go down, degrade just a little bit. And so he's calling out, you know, our shields are down to 50%. Their shields are down to 20%. Shields are down to 10%. It's getting more and more intense, you know. And then finally the shields are gone, and the next thing you know, he's not calling out the status of the shields anymore, but now he's calling out damage reports. You know, it's like we got casualties on deck 7. You know, we've got a hull breach on decks 9 through 11. Sounds really cool. I don't know what really that is. But it's awesome to listen to this kind of thing and watch this unfold as you see the shields go down, and all of a sudden the ship begins to take damage, and all these things begin to happen to the Enterprise. And as I watched that, I just thought, man, that's a reflection of my life. Because at one time, my shields were up. And they couldn't be seen. They were invisible. But they were there. And I had these resources that I could pull from. And I had margin built in enough that when these circumstances that are there that we all face would be hurled at me, I had something to fight them off with. Something to keep them from becoming painful and difficult and destructive in my life. But once my shields went down, I had nothing else to work with. And all of a sudden, those things began to take root and become harmful to me. And my biggest problem was that I didn't have anybody in my life who was calling out the status of my shields. Nobody was warning me that danger was right around the corner and that I was approaching a place where I was going to run into a really difficult season. And it wasn't their fault. See, I thought I had all the right systems in place. See, I'd never quit reading my Bible. I was praying regularly.
I was doing all the right things. I was in a community group. I had great friends that I could talk to, had a super supportive family. All the systems were there and were in place. But because of my reluctance to talk about those struggles that I was having, nobody knew what was really going on. They didn't see that there was damage. They didn't know to call that out and warn me that there was danger right around the corner, because I wasn't letting out enough of that to let them see what was happening. One of the guys that had been on that panel with me at that retreat had said it best, and he said, you know, I could always talk about some of it, but I could never talk about that last 10%. It was just a little bit too painful, or it was a little bit too embarrassing, or I felt like it was going to disappoint the people around me. And so I always held on to just enough of it to keep me in trouble. And that's kind of where I was. And it wasn't until I began to talk about those things that I began to really find a way to recover from the struggles that I'd been having. So one of the things that we'd all had in common as well is we had all gone to see a counselor. You know, we'd all spent time with a counselor in some shape, form, or fashion. And that was great. It was super helpful for me. But it doesn't always have to be a counselor. You know, there are other ways and other means and other systems that you can have in place. But when your mind gets crazy, even though I was spending time with God, even though I was reading my Bible and praying and I had friends around me, my mind was so busy and I was so caught up in just the busyness of life that my mind wouldn't slow down enough when I would stop to read and pray to be able to focus on listening to what God wanted to say to me. The ritual was there, but my relationship with God was just suffering in a way that those things were spinning around in my head and I couldn't slow them down. I couldn't stop them enough to pay attention. And I couldn't talk to the people around me because of my own arrogance and pride. And so those things just began to build up and become painful for me. And so I just realized finally I had to talk about that. I had to do something about that. And I began to see a counselor, but it doesn't have to be a counselor. There are other things that you can do. And I say that because I think a lot of you are in a position now that I have been in, that I was in over this past year. In my position, I get to see and hear a lot of stories. I have conversations with a lot of you guys at different times, and I just know that we all have circumstances in our life that are outside of our control. All have circumstances that we have some amount of responsibility in. We all have things that become hurtful and painful to us, and it's unfortunate that we would go through life dealing with those things and not allowing God to work on those things inside of us. See, for some of you, you need to begin doing something. You need to take some kind of step to begin to let God work on bringing healing to you. And for some of you, that might be that you need to go see a counselor. But for some of you, you may just need to show up to your community group this week and you need to say, hey guys, before we jump into anything else, I just need to share a few things with you. I just need to get some things out because I need you to be praying for me on this. And some of you, you don't need to do that at all because it's way too personal for you to throw out there in a large group. Some of you may just need to grab a friend, just some trusted friend, and you need to say, hey man, I've got some things I want to share with you. Can we go grab a cup of coffee because there's some stuff I haven't told you. Or maybe some of you, maybe ladies in a community group, y'all just need to get together and send your husbands off to go get some pizza and wings or something, and they're not going to turn that down anyway. So get them off out of the way, and ladies, just get together and start having a conversation with each other. Or maybe you and your spouse need to get together and go find another couple, and y'all need to sit down with them and begin a conversation. But in some way, some of you are in a place where you just need to begin walking down that road to recovery. And until you're willing to talk about that last 10%, you're never going to be able to find a way to get there. See, what I want for you this next year is I want you to experience peace. I want you to experience what God can do in your life. And Jeff, when he talked to us last week, he said there's these fruits of the Spirit. And he said, I want you to grab one of these and I want you to think about this and focus on that this year. And they're amazing things. They're love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Amazing things that you can have in your life. And I want that for you as well. And I think that God wants that for you as well. And I know some of you would say, but Sean, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I deal with. And if you knew what I'm having to handle right now, you would tell me that you would understand. There's no way that I can have peace in my life in that. And I'll tell you, you're wrong. You are wrong. You can't find peace in your life in that, but God can give you peace in your life in that. And not only can he do that, but he wants to do that for you. And I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to hear what Jesus had to say about it, because I think his words probably carry a little bit more weight than mine do. And so I want to read to you a little bit of scripture this morning, and I want you to see this. And this is out of the book of John. And this is an incredible passage of scripture because John was one of Jesus's closest friends. He was one of the disciples. He walked with Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. And he recorded this, this book or this gospel in order to share with us all that he experienced through Jesus, all that Jesus told him and all that Jesus did. And so we're going to pick up kind of towards the end in this conversation, and we're going to read through some of the words of Jesus. And I want to read this to you because I want you to see what Jesus was telling the disciples at this particular point in time. As he's getting ready, he's predicting his death, and he's telling them, I'm going to be leaving, things are going to be changing, but here's kind of what's going on, and here's what I think is important for you. So I want to pick this up. This is chapter 14, verse 25. This is what he said. Jesus said, all this I have spoken while still with you. In other words, all this that we've been talking about, that I've just summarized and gone back over, all this is what happened while I was still with you. But right now, I'm switching gears and I'm moving forward. We're looking into the future and I'm telling you what is about to happen and what's about to take place. So it's going to change now, and I'm not going to be telling you stuff anymore. We're moving into something new. And it was this. He said, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So he's kind of continuing this and predicting, okay, I'm going to be leaving. You know my death's coming. I've told you that. But there's another one that's coming to take my place. And here's what he's going to do. He'll teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. And this is amazing because Jesus is saying, you know, you understand that I am one with the Father. I've told you before, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And there's this amazing God that's out there that loves and cares for us, and he's done this amazing stuff for us and for you. But now that I have come and I'm going to be leaving, I've got this work to do, and it's really important. Through my death and resurrection, some crazy things are going to happen, and Jesus is predicting all this. But he's saying, I now have the Holy Spirit who is at one with us as well, and he's going to take my place, and he's going to continue the work that I've been doing. And this is what he says. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. As I'm leaving, as I'm about to depart this earth and leave the Holy Spirit with you, I want to leave you with this. I want you to understand that I'm giving you peace. That through my death and through my resurrection, you're going to be able to experience peace in this world. Sin broke that. Sin screwed that up. But now I'm going to give that back. Here's what I'm doing for you. And then he continues. He says, I do not give to you as the world gives, which is amazing. Because he's saying, this is not conditional. There's nothing you can do to earn this. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. And I'm never going to take it back. But this is a free gift that's being given to you. And it's going to be there forever. And then he finishes by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He knows. He said, you disciples, you guys have depended on me and you've been here with me and I'm leaving, but I don't want you to be afraid. You don't have to, because the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to take my place. And I love this. I love what Jesus is saying here. Because we can look back and we realize that God, our Heavenly Father, loves us like crazy. He loves us unconditionally. We know that God created this amazing, beautiful thing. He created this earth and this universe that we live in. And then he took it a step further and he created humankind. He created mankind in his own image and he declared it good. And there were people in this earth and it was in harmony and it was a good thing. And then sin came in and broke that. And because of sin, the hurt and the pain and the suffering and the difficulty of this life was entered into the world that we live in. And then God, in all of his goodness, sent his Son, and through his death and resurrection, those circumstances in your life have not been taken away. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, balance was brought back into the world, that there was this equilibrium that was reached, that God was able to reconcile his relationship with us, our relationship with him through what Jesus did through his death and his resurrection. And that through that, balance was brought back into the world. And that's how we can experience peace. That's where peace comes from, because balance is now there because of what Jesus did. So Jesus didn't just come, and sometimes I hear this. I hear people say all the time, you know, I didn't realize that peace was something that I could obtain here on this earth. I really thought that was something that I would find that God promised for me in heaven. And that is just so far from the truth, because Jesus didn't just come to keep you out of hell. He didn't just come to let you have a place in heaven. That was certainly part of his mission and what he did. But it was so much more than that. It was so much greater than that. And if that's the way you've been taught and that's what your view of Jesus has always been, I am so sorry. Because I want you to see that Jesus loves you way more than that. And God's plan for you is way bigger than that. That God's plan is that you experience all the goodness, all the fullness of who God is while you are here on this earth. That Jesus, through his death and resurrection, balanced out what happened through sin so that our relationship with God can be right again. And that is an amazing and an incredible thing. And it's a promise. It's a gift to all of us. It's something that God gave to us just because he loved us. And that is the essence of who Jesus is. That is the essence of his mission, of what he came to accomplish. See, I think that as Jeff talked last week and he said, I want you to pick one of these fruits of the Spirit and I want you to focus on that this year. I can tell you, for me, it was just really easy. For me, it's peace. I want to experience the fullness of God in my life. I want to experience what peace really is. I've been there and I've been where it is when I don't have it, and it's miserable. And now I'm in a place where I am on a road to recovery and God is doing some great things and I am just super excited about that. And I know what it's like to experience God's peace. And that's what I want. That's what I want to focus on this next year. And I don't know which one you have chosen or if you've thought about that at all, but I hope you'll pick one of those things. But I also know that for a lot of you, it just needs to be peace. Because before you're ever going to experience joy in your life, you're going to have to find peace. Before you're ever going to be able to really love and experience love from somebody else, you're going to have to find peace. And before you can find self-control and be able to express self-control in your marriage and your relationships and in your work environment and those other areas, you're going to have to find a way to become at peace. But whatever it is that you choose, I hope you'll think about that. And I hope that you'll realize that God has this big, amazing plan in store for you. And he wants to do something absolutely amazing. And that's what I want for you as well. I want you to know that it's okay if you're not in a place where you're okay right now, as long as you're working on it and as long as you're doing something to fix it. But I can't imagine how amazing it would be. And I want you to think about this just for a minute. If a year from now we look back and we're celebrating 2017 and all the things that happened over the course of the past year, and you can look back and you can go, you know what? Last year was my year. Last year was the year that I began to experience peace in my life. Last year was the year that I found joy again. Last year was the year that I really began to experience who God is in my life. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could think back and you could celebrate that a year from now? And can you imagine how amazing it would be if us as a church, a group of people, could come together and we could celebrate that together, what God had done and that we had experienced that over the course of the last year. Because I think the other thing that would happen as a result of that is that in our community and in the people around us, that next door neighbor that you have that absolutely drives you nuts because he won't leave you alone, or that coworker that thinks he knows everything and has a horrible negative attitude and just drives you crazy, or that family member that you can't stand to be around at Christmas, can you imagine what it would be like to them if they could look at you and they could look at us, a group of people, that in the midst of all of our brokenness, in the midst of our messiness of our lives and the suffering and the struggles that we go through, they could see a group of honest, authentic people who had found peace in their lives? Imagine how incredible that would be. What God could do through that, how he could change the people around us, help us fulfill the one mission that he gave us as the church to be able to share with others the goodness of God. Can you imagine how amazing that would be? It would be a game changer. It would be an absolutely amazing thing. And that is what I want for you this year. And so in just a minute, I'm going to ask Beth and the band, they're going to come out and they're going to sing a song. And as they do that, I want you to stop and I just want you to think. I want you to listen. And I don't want you to just listen to the words that Beth sings, but I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit and what he might have to say to you today. And if you're kind of new to this whole church thing and faith and all that, and that sounds really hokey to you, I totally get that. I understand that. Because honestly, I can't explain it. I don't know how that works. I don't know how God works through that. I don't know how his Spirit speaks to me. I just know that there are times in my life when I can't explain what God is doing and where there's some voice, there's something that inspires me or drives me to move in a certain direction. And I just believe that that's the Spirit of God working in me. Jesus promised that he would be here and he would do that. And I think that that's really true. And so as we sing this song, I want you to listen. And I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit might have to say to you. And maybe this morning for you, that's him telling you that you need to start doing something that you haven't been doing. Or maybe for you, it's him telling you that you need to stop doing something that's leading you down a path of destruction. Or maybe, just maybe, he's trying to tell you, wants to tell you, that it is just okay. That wherever you are, regardless of your circumstances and the difficulty of those and the struggles that you face, that he's got this under control and that it is okay. And you need to hear that, and you just need to know that and experience that this morning. Because I can tell you, I've been in a place where I wasn't real sure. And it's not a place I want to go back to. But I love being in a place right now where I can tell you that in the deepest part of my soul, I know that it is okay. Because I know that all things are possible with God, and I know what he's done in and through me. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want you to be able to experience. That's what I hope that you will give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to share with you this morning. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we are just grateful for what you've done for us. And it's just amazing, Father, and we stop and realize that the God of the universe loves us so much that you sent your own son to pay the penalty for our sin, to restore our relationship with you and to renew us, to reconcile these things in a way, Father, that you could bring balance back into our lives. That, Father, through what your son Jesus has done for us, that the effects of sin don't have to knock us down. But, Father, that we can find hope and we can find peace in the midst of it. And, Father, that is an amazing thing. And I can't imagine what a game changer that would be for some of us in this room if we would experience that over the course of this next year. And I really can't imagine what that would look like to others, Father, who are so far from you and aren't really sure at all if you're real or if you're who you say you are, if any of that's really true. But, Father, if they could just see what it looks like to be real and authentic and truthful and honest and open. In the midst of our messiness and the difficulty that we face, we could find peace in our own lives. How attractive that would be to the people around us. So I pray, Father, in whatever way you choose to do and however you do it, that I will never understand, I pray that you would speak to us and show us how we're to respond to you, the step that we need to take. Father, for me, that was to begin to talk about my struggles and to take ownership and responsibility for the part that I had responsibility over. And I don't know what that looks like for others. I don't know what the step is that they need to take. But I pray that you'd make it clear to them and give them the courage. Give all of us, Father, the courage to do what it is that you would have us to do so that we can experience the fullness of who you are in our lives. Father, we love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.